Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Are you in the regular season when it comes to the Niners right now?
What do you mean by style points? Like, they got to win big?
Win impressively, clean football.
I mean, like,
big.
What does it look like? Like, you know, like, if we look up and they play a bunch of 17-13 games and they have a top-ranked defense and they're hanging on, but they're playing smart football and they're not turning the ball over, right, and special teams looks buttoned up and we're playing the field position game, yeah, I'll believe that actually is sustainable come playoff time. And the offense is, like, for whatever reason, right, a tick off. Like, I still think that the offense can get it right. Like, I want the defense to be top-notch this year.
Yeah, I would love for them to be top-notch. But, like, what if they go into Monday Night Football and they're coming off of this training camp and they win 17-13, 17-16?
I think that would be impressive.
All right.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter what it looks like. For example, let's say this year, Purdy throws 25 touchdowns and 17 or 16 interceptions, but he's got a bunch of fourth quarter comebacks, right? And the offense is boggled down because of injuries and because the offensive line has him running for his life. And he's got a bunch of, you know, late game heroics where he puts the team in a position to win and just does enough to win the way Russ did early on in his career. Like, to me, that could be as successful, if not more successful, individually for Purdy, overcoming some of the shortcomings on the roster. And even though the stats don't look good, like, I'll feel hella good about the team and I'll feel really good about where he's at. So I think there's a variety of ways this could still make us, like, feel really confident about this team. It's just like we're talking about a lot of things that aren't on field.
The Niners,
not on field. Trent, not on the field.
The Niners, let me ask you this one because a lot of fans feel like you, a lot of people feel like you. I'm not there yet, but when I look at this team and look at everything that's happening, do the Niners deserve the benefit of doubt in this sense that they've been to four NFC Championship games the last 5 years, they've been to a Super Bowl, been to a couple Super Bowls? Don't you feel like, when we talk about faith and hope, don't you have faith in Shanahan and Purdy and Kittle and guys like that, where they could just flip the switch and say, we're fine, guys, we're used to the noise? I remember the Warriors, even when they were going 3-3, there was so much noise around the Warriors during that 5-game run.
Basketball's so different.
It is different, but in the sense that, boy, there's all this chatter. You get into it, because those conversations were happening. Yeah. It's like, no, they're going to be in the NBA Finals. They're going to be in the Finals. So, like, the Niners, they've been in the NFC Championship game 4 to 5 years and 2 Super Bowls. Don't they deserve the benefit of the doubt to where they can block out? Because there's been a lot of noise here before. A lot of noise. Yeah, you had Jimmy Gate. You had Bosa. You had Debo. There's always been something with this team. The Trey Lance draft pick, training camp. What's going to happen with Jimmy? Is Jimmy going to have to look over his shoulder? They've dealt with the noise pretty well under Kyle Shanahan.
Of course they have, but they've also played a 5-year run with this core, which is pretty impressive. And you got to like turn your roster over and start counting on some different people because the game is violent. It's inherently violent. And, you know, I don't think they're not done. Like, everybody thinks they're going to win 10 game minimum, right? Don't we all? Anything less than 10 games probably is a really disappointing down year.
Yeah, if they win less than 10 games,
anything less than 10 games. So I think that the benefit of the doubt that they've earned is, yeah, I think your season starts with me saying you're going to win at least 10. Now, what are you going to do with those 3 or 4 that are up in the air, 4 or 5 that are up in the air? Do you win half of them? Do you lose them all? You know, that's the difference between winning your division and not.
Would it stun you if the Niners open the season 3-0?
No, I mean, look at the schedule. I mean, I don't know what to make of the Jets. Do you?
Jets, Vikings, Rams, right?
That's I think they should beat the Vikings, but I would rather play the Vikings at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year because they're probably more optimistic come, you know, first quarter of the season.
It'd be interesting.
You know, the Sam Darnold experience once you get to December probably is not as sustainable.
When I think about all this stuff, by the way, you're listening to 95.7 Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. I look at Shanahan, and I look at Kittle, and I look at Bosa, and I look at Juszczyk, and I look at the veterans on this team, Fred Warner being one of them. And I just believe in their leadership to block out whatever's happening, saying, we will be ready for week one. And I think a team like the 49ers that lost that Super Bowl need an intense game in the worst way to just knock the snot out of somebody at a high level and watch the taste. And like the taste of losing the Super Bowl is never going to leave your mouth.
No.
Like it's always going to, you're always going to taste a little bit of that. But they need to run into somebody different. And I just think Monday Night Football, the bright lights, the attention that comes with that game, knowing it's a New York team and all the New York media and everything like that, I just have a lot of confidence in the leadership of this group, knowing that they've been through the wars and they've practiced through all the noise, that, you know what? They're going to be okay. They're going to be all right. And sure, I think for the fans, yeah, you want to see Trent. You want to see Ayuk. You want to see Ricky Pearsall, for crying out loud. But I do think I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. That's why I'm not as down as other people are right now about the 49ers. Like, we're still 2.5 weeks away. And once that season kicks off and they win a football game, we're not even going to be talking about it.
What were the Eagles, 10-1 last year?
They were.
Didn't they feel a little off, though?
They're in a lot of close games. They're in a lot of close games.
And then after the Niners beat them, they were not the same.
They were not the same team.
Right?
And then
you look back, like, they lost in the first round of the playoffs. How would most Eagle fans describe last year?
Oh, last year was a disappointment coming off a Super Bowl loss. No doubt about
it. Borderline almost disaster.
But when they were 10-1, they were flying high.
Yeah, but
before that Niner game,
there was a lot of talk about, like, Jalen don't look right. You know, like, it's a tick off.
They were throwing the ball a little bit more. They didn't commit to the run. It was a little janky.
You know,
it was a little janky.
Like, to your point, I think there's a lot of times where, you know, you could see a team have a good record, and they're not. The game is just so difficult.
You know what caught up to the Eagles, too, was losing Shane Steichen and losing Gannon in Arizona.
Well, yeah, the coordinators,
They lost their coordinators, and they gave some guys the job, and it was like, ooh, this isn't working.
Well,
and their defense,
some AJ Brown stuff.
You know, they lost CJ Gardner-Johnson last year. Now he's back in Philadelphia. That was a big loss for them at the safety position. So they retooled. So yeah, it was a disappointing season for the Eagles.
But they were riding high
those first 11 weeks.
I just look at the history of the NFL. It's just really difficult to have two unbelievable seasons back to back and get back to the promised land. It's just hard. No one's saying you can't do it, and they've earned the benefit of the doubt, but it's just hard. It's really, really, really hard. And outside of the New England Brady Patriots, there's not a lot of teams that continue to just go back year after year after year, and that's why the Chiefs are being, you know, basically put in the catbird seat.
Boy, 4 NFC championships the last 5 years.
Well,
the Niners have debunked a lot of history here.
But what if I play the other side of it? Well, now their bodies are all starting to come crashing down.
Well,
after a long run.
Well, maybe. We don't know that yet, though.
No, but I think that's the cynic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've got a lot of cynics around here. See, I don't look at it. Yeah, I hear you.
Seattle's got a new coach.
Yeah.
I want to see what they look like. You know, I look at Arizona. They still feel a year away, but I'm not counting them out. And then I look at L.A., and they have a very young team that surprised everyone last year. Stafford is obviously health is the most important.
Well, he just had a hamstring injury.
I know.
Health is the most important for him.
And if he's healthy, though, you fear the Rams. So I'm looking at the division and I'm saying, like, I still think the division is the Niners, but I'm not crossing out Seattle and I'm not crossing out the Rams.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But I think I'm looking at it from this angle. And I could, you know, some people are going, oh, you're a Shanahan. No, no. I just got a lot of belief in Shanahan. And I got a lot of belief in this system. We were talking about programs earlier, right? Yesterday with Tom Brady, brilliant programs. And this program that the Niners have built, they have a very good program, a very good system, a very good system in place. And so I'm off that belief saying, I've seen them do this. I've seen them fight through, like the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff. I think we're underrating that now. He'd been on the baby field every single day with Trey Lance practicing, and every little struggle, I'll bring Jimmy back. What are you doing with Jimmy? What are you doing with Jimmy? They handled that noise pretty well. They made the big trade. Now, they started off rough, and they made the big trade for McCaffrey, identifying, Gale, we need a home run hitter or a running back, and boom, they take off, and they don't look back. I don't know. I just got a lot of faith in this regime that they could turn things around and block out the noise, and once it's time to play ball, they'll be able to play ball at a high level.
I think they're going to win 10 games minimum. Like I think that's baked into the equation.
And I disagree with Don Data 1200. We haven't won anything. Why do you have so much faith? They've lost in the biggest games possible. They've won a lot. Like John Madden said this. John Madden said this back in the 70s. And they're like, oh, John, you can't win a big one. He goes, what are you talking about? All these games are big. How the hell did we get to the AFC Championship game? By winning big games. So they haven't won the ultimate game. They've won a lot of big games.
The thing I want to see this year is have they improved the roster enough to stave off the rest of the NFC? Because the rest of the NFC, you got a lot of young players coming into their own. You got a lot of situations now that are 2-3 years in that feel a lot more potent than years past. And, you know, did the Niners lose a little step? Have they replaced some of these players that they've lost? Have they got some young guys who could take leaps forward?
We'll see.
That's the beauty of the NFL.
Yeah, it is. 54-29 in the regular season under Shanahan over the last 5 years. They've done a lot of winning, folks. A lot of winnings. All right. A team that's not doing a lot of winning, the Chicago White Sox. What is it? Light cover the Chicago White Sox. Let's talk to Matt Spiegel. 670 to score in Chicago. Matt Spiegel does afternoons on the score. How did it get to this point with the White Sox? We'll ask Matt Spiegel on the other side here on the Roast.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast. And we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me.
Made up my mind, gonna make a new start. Going to California with an aching in my heart.
You know the song, Spadone?
Do you know this song? Do you know who it's about?
Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes.
Top five song for you.
In her head.
See, what I'm learning.
This is Led Zeppelin going to California. They wrote this song looking on television, seeing Joni Mitchell wear flowers in her hair in San Francisco. And this entire song is him visualizing and dreaming, or tripping, if you will, about what it would be like when he flew a plane out to California.
See, what I've learned about Shasky is that his top five is really a top 30. There's 30 songs in his top five.
This is, turn this up. This is one of the greatest songs ever.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's like I'm back at church camp.
Are you guys serious?
Feels like I'm back at
Are you kidding me?
Young Life, Woodleaf camp.
Honestly, you guys got to season yourself a little. I mean, this is
Zeppelin.
They got a lot of bangers. This is one that's under the radar. This is one of my classic ones. When I'm driving up River Road, going to the cabin, this will come on my playlist. I have an Ultimate River mix, and this is just one that bangs.
Do you have Little River Band on the Ultimate River mix?
No, it's Ultimate River Jams, meaning if I was kayaking down the river and I had my little Bluetooth, I wouldn't have to press next song on any of my songs.
Get some LRB, Little River Band on there. You'll like it.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Led Zeppelin, come on.
Baldy tomorrow, all day in studio, 4 hours. All day, Brian Baldinger live in studio. And we have a special guest joining us at 7:30 tomorrow. Stiff People's tight end, George Kittle. He's going to be on the morning roast tomorrow. We could ask about you, Shasky. I'm kidding. You got to laugh. Whoa, you just stone-faced me. Whoa.
I'm disappointed that you don't know Led Zeppelin.
Oh, that's what it is. You're disappointed. I don't know Led Zeppelin.
Well, I know that song, it's a classic.
I guess so.
Not everything needs to be for example, I look at some of the greatest pitchers of all time, right? Roger Clemens. Yeah, he had the fastball. He also had the splitter. He had the changeup, the curveball, slider, right? You know, you're looking at Greg Maddux. I mean, a zillion different off-speed pitches. You don't have to just be a one-pitch guy, all right? Now, you could be Mariano Rivera.
Yeah,
go right ahead.
That's what I am, and I'm going to walk my ass straight to the Hall of Fame.
I choose to be more Greg Maddux.
I'm going to walk straight to the Hall of Fame. I know who Led Zeppelin is. I don't know their music. I'm sorry.
I love that
song. Sue me. Matt Spiegel, we want to talk about classics. Boy, the team they got in Chicago. We're not talking Cubs, we're not talking Bears, we're not talking Bulls. We're talking White Sox. Matt Spiegel, 670 score in Chicago. After he was on the score, Matt, long time no talk. Thank you for joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Matt, I'm watching this team, and I actually think it's fascinating. Like, we're watching history here. 67 games under 500. How the hell did we get to this point with the Chicago White Sox? You guys are watching something historic right now, Matt. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Bonte. Good morning. This team is a remarkable achievement and suck. Just incredible. Like, and what they've done to get here is amazing. But first of all, going to California is an absolutely exquisite track. I think of it more like Tom Glavine. Like, change-ups on the outside corner. Thank just you. You know, just dancing there and tantalizing the righty power hitters who can do absolutely nothing with it. Okay, so that I'll defend that track to my dying day.
He's a cultured man.
Yeah, listen, the White Sox decided to go backwards, as is often the decision in baseball, but they've done it at a terrible time when the draft rules have now changed and they're not going to even get a pick higher than number 10 next year, which is hilarious.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, the level of dysfunction from the very top to the absolute bottom in this organization is unlike anything I've ever seen. They're trying to change it systemically by hiring the guy who's been in charge of the farm system, which has sucked for a long, long time. So Chris Getz is somebody who was brought from within, and they should have gone outside. Then they brought in some decent people. I like Brian Bannister for the pitching infrastructure. I kind of like Josh Barfield. But that's like two people in the front office who might help, you know, reshape things a little. Meanwhile, on the field, it is worse than anything you have ever seen. But think of it this way, guys. If the Tampa Bay Rays on the field are a product of the health of that organization for the last 15 years, the Chicago White Sox right now on the field are a product of the dysfunction of this organization for the last 20 years. It's been an absolute debacle, and they deserve to be as bad as they are in every possible way.
Have you seen the documentary on Netflix, The Saint of Second Chances?
Oh, absolutely, and Mike Vec is a brilliant man, and I would love the Vec family to get back in charge of the White Sox somehow, some way.
Well, wow. The reason why I ask is I didn't know a lot about the White Sox history, and other than, you know, the Black Sox scandal and Eight Men Out and things like that, and some of the funky uniforms. But watching that documentary, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, we got the A's here, and the way that they've been run over the last 15, 20 years, it's like they don't even exist, even though they were at one time the number one team in the market for a long time. At any point, have the White Sox been, you know, one of the top draws in Chicago when you like Bears, and I know there's the Blackhawks and the Cubs, and there's a lot going on, but like, have they always been third, fourth fiddle?
It you know, it's a small and passionate fan base, a bit of a cultish kind of fan base. When they're good, they get a ton of play, but they have always had this little brother chip on their shoulder with the Cubs that they come by honestly. Like, we can go all the way back. literally in 1865, when Charles Comiskey was allowed to bring his team to Chicago from Minnesota, he was told he couldn't go north of 35th Street because of the other team in town. That's how far back this thing goes. Wow. There's a place downtown called the Chicago Athletic Association, yeah. And guys on that board in the 1900s, the first decade of the 1900s, Spalding. Okay, Wrigley. These are names that you know, right? They wouldn't let Charlie Comiskey in. So, like, this little brother thing that the White Sox have had, they come by honestly, and it exists forever. It's a very thin-skinned organization and always has been. But when they're good, they get play, man. And I love when they're good. I host a show Sunday mornings in this two-team baseball town. You know, I love when both teams are relevant. I want it to be there. I cover them like crazy when they're good. And when they're bad, I cover them when they're bad. And at a certain point, you stop covering them when they're apathetic. Let me answer your question about a moment when they were on top of the world. Early 80s, okay? 1983, they win the division. Tony La Russa is the manager. Mm-hmm. Jim Leland is the third base coach.
Wow.
Dave Dombrowski is in the front office working for Roland Hemond, okay? Who was a genius in his own right, right? And you've got, in 1984, Hawk Harrelson was hired as general manager because Jerry Reinsdorf loved Hawk Harrelson. And there's a pattern that goes through here, which is Jerry doing whatever he wants. The White Sox are Jerry's vanity project, okay? And they always have been. So he hires Hawk Harrelson. Hawk Harrelson trades Bobby Bonilla away in 1984, okay? He fires Tony La Russa, who, of course, takes Jim Leland. You know, Jim Leland gets gone as well. He fires Dave Dombrowski. Dave Dombrowski has since won World Series with the Red Sox, and he's gone there twice with the Phillies. He went there with Detroit. He won a World Series with the Florida Marlins. Dave Dombrowski is going to the Hall of Fame. Tony La Russa's in the Hall of Fame. Jim Leland is in the Hall of Fame. Hawk Harrelson fired all of them as empowered by Jerry Reinsdorf. So look, when Jerry brings back Tony La Russa in 2022, trying to right a wrong of what he did in 1984, it was a horrible decision based out of vanity again. It's like, and Jerry is a good owner in some ways. The people who work for him love him because he's incredibly loyal, but he is loyal to a fault, and he is strident and fiscally efficient to a fault in a way that has never let the White Sox get over the hump. It's a really sad thing, and somebody's going to write an unbelievable obituary of Jerry Reinsdorf, and maybe it ought to be me.
Wow, it should be you. Matt Spiegel on absolute fire here on the Morning Roast, breaking down the White Sox as Aaron Town taking down the Giants, and the Giants won the first two games of the series, and we can't even celebrate it. We're like, the White Sox so bad, what the hell are we celebrating out here? But you brought up Hawk Harrelson, and of course, yeah. Matt Spiegel, a 670 score in Chicago. You're not talking about Hawk Harrelson, the play-by-play announcer, right?
Put it on the board.
Yeah, yes. That guy was in GM.
Dude, that guy, who was a really good ball player, he played for Charlie Finley in the Oakland A's.
Goodness.
And then he went to Boston and played for the Red Sox with Yaz and that team, I think in 68. But yeah, Hawk ended up working for the White Sox. He went from the play-by-play booth to the general manager's office and was terrible as a GM and did everything I told you about and then went back to play-by-play and became a legend doing play-by-play.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That is unbelievable. Oh, yeah. I remember, so I was telling Shasky because my fiance used to live in Chicago, and there was a couple times, the first three times I went out there, was nothing but the White Sox in town because I wanted to go to Gravely. So finally I was like, I want to go to Comiskey. Let's go to a White Sox game. It was a White Sox Royal game.
Yeah.
And it felt like I wasn't even in Chicago at Comiskey Park. It feels like the yard is sterile. So is that another Jerry Reinsdorf creation? Because it feels like you guys are so far away from Chicago, it's not even funny. It was so sterile. There's nothing around there. It's like, damn.
Well, it's a whole other chapter because, yeah, it's always been. Old Comiskey was right there, and they ended up building this new Comiskey, which is now Guaranteed Rate, right across the street. But he got a sweetheart of a deal from the state. And there was all kinds of political drama around that. They could have built and should have built 20 blocks closer to downtown in what is now the South Loop, where I'm talking to you from. I live in the South Loop.
Yeah.
I'm basically across the street from Soldier Field.
Wow.
There was nothing here. There was nothing here in 93. And they would have had a businessman special, the easy, like a quick bus ride or a quick bike ride from downtown to go to the ballpark. And instead, he took the sweetheart deal and stayed in that neighborhood, again, out of some mix of loyalty and fiscal efficiency. But it's been a disaster. And that stadium, it doesn't even face downtown with the skyscrapers over the outfield fence, because he wanted we wanted home plate to be as close to home plate in the other ballpark they had across the street. So he missed a chance to have the skyline in the background.
Wow.
Like, they've screwed things up at every turn. But they got a World Series in 2005. But even the methodology they used to get that Kenny Williams did, was not about a holistic health of an organization. It was about, let me buy and let me try to do it on the cheap and let me find a way to add at the deadline, which Kenny did every single year until they realized that didn't work and they failed.
And we got so many ties to the White Sox, like in the Bay Area. Kenny Williams,
yeah.
Kyle Williams,
yeah.
With the Niners. We were discussing him earlier today. We were talking about Aaron Rowan and Juan Uribe and AJ Pierzynski, all these guys from that World Series team. I couldn't stand AJ Pierzynski, but that's not why I'm asking you. How much are people like making fun content out of the team being this historically bad? Because this is it's not even a joke.
Like, there is a story there.
At least the A's, like when the A's bottom out, every couple years, like, wow, you look up, they got talent. I'm watching the White Sox, and I'm like, I don't know how much talent they have on this team, if any at all.
You know, it's the fun content at the about their awfulness. It's kind of been exhausted, frankly, because it's gone on for so long, because they were so bad, and then they did the rebuild, and then they fell apart with Tony there, and like, I mean, Tony used to sound like Johnny Cash. We had a very funny bit where we would play Hurt by Johnny Cash in the background as Tony talked, and people would love it. Like, so we had fun with that, but it was ended up being so damn sad, you know what I mean? And then there's been so many things. Hell, this year, they've had a great concession stand there where they made a campfire milkshake. It's like a s'mores milkshake. And then we had a campaign for the campfire milkshake to represent the White Sox at the All-Star game. We thought that would be the best and most fitting thing to represent them. I think Garrett Crochet had a nice first half, and he did it instead. So, like, but people are exhausted by how awful they are, and now everything has turned to Caleb Williams, baby. I mean, here up there, because
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Cubs have been frustrating. The Cubs season has been like one big taunting penalty where they like good for 2 days and then they're bad for the third day, you know, and the Blackhawks are rebuilding. The Bulls have been a debacle and now they're rebuilding. But here come the Bears and Caleb, baby.
Is he, I know you got a young phenom on the hockey team, but is he the biggest, this is football. Is he the biggest star since Derrick Rose in the city?
Who, Bedard or Caleb?
Caleb.
Oh, yeah, dude, Caleb. This town is in a love affair with a, what is he, 21, 22?
Yeah.
This town is in a love affair with this guy. It's like the way he talks about it, the way he thinks the game, the way he processes the game is so elevated from anything he experienced. And then, oh, by the way, he's had moments in the first two preseason games where it looks unbelievable. And not just the Mahomes improvisation, but the stuff in the pocket. All of it has looked incredible. And you got to understand, this town has never had a 4,000-yard passer. This town has never had a 30-touchdown passer.
That's insane.
The number one quarterback by quarterback rating with a minimum of 20 starts in the history of the Bears is Mitch Trubisky.
No.
That's number one. Quarterback rating of 87. Look it up, man.
Wow.
It's like, it's outrageous. So, yeah, the town is going crazy for him. And, oh, by the way, the team is real good. And we've got Hard Knocks feeding right into it. It's outrageous.
I've taken a win total. It's 8.5. Maybe it skyrocketed already. But I love the defense. I love the weapons with Caleb. I got the Bears winning at least 9 games as well.
Division.
It is a tough division. But that defense, man, you guys got a defense out there in Chicago. They played very well down the stretch last season. So, Matt, thanks for the time, man. I'm sorry about the White Sox, man. That's got to be brutal. You're on fire there. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, let's talk soon.
Bears play the Niners. Niners, they're coming out here to the West Coast later on this season. Should be fun.
It sounds good. And then I got some stories about your boss, Matt Nahagan, I'd love to share on the air.
Time out. No. So,
I got to go.
Got to go.
You want one?
Look.
All right. One time, Maddie, when very stressed, because he was running Sporting News Radio as a young man, he was in charge of a massive, massive undertaking, and he was clearly stressed. And I went out back to our parking lot where he would sometimes go for a cigarette. Right?
A heater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was having a heater, but he also had a dip in his mouth. I don't know whether it was Skoll or Copenhagen. And he had a beer in his hand. So that's getting it done. Dude was having a cigarette with a beer and a dip. And I was like, man, you are going every direction you could possibly go right now. Respect.
Hey, Matt Spiegel, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed at all. He's still that same stress cadet walking around here. Look. Oh, we got to hit the brakes. He's just like, dude, just take a lap. Yeah. Just chill. Yeah. Matt, we'll do it again.
You're good people.
All right, guys, give him a pack of Skoll Bandits on me. I'll reimburse you.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely,
what
Matt Spiegel. 60-70 to score in Chicago. Afternoons on the score. Really on fire here. But we, you know, as much as I want to laugh about that, we do have some breaking news.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Yeah, sad day for the franchise, for the Golden State Warriors. And kind of knew this day was coming the last couple days as Al Addles has passed away. He was surrounded by family at his East Bay home. He took his last breath. And when we say Al Addles, for a lot of youngsters out there, you need to know who Al Addles is. He had been with the Warriors for 6 decades, okay? Over 60 years. Player, coach, GM, ambassador. No person in NBA history has been with one franchise for over 60 years. How many people have only received one paycheck, a paycheck from one employer in their life? Not many, right? He was with the Warriors for so long, he was with them in Philadelphia. Obviously, he was a teammate of Will Chamberlain when he scored 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
He was the second leading scorer in that game, which is his
points.
Little... Yeah, that's his like... Yep. He's like the Forrest Gump of that era of NBA players.
And today is Will Chamberlain's birthday, which is crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
In that game, Al Addles was a perfect 8-for-8 from the floor and 1-for-1 from the free throw line. prompting Will Chamberlain to sign the ball for him, saying to Al, the man who always did the right things at the wrong time, a true story. Of course, he was a coach of the 1975 NBA championship that Rick Barry holds deeply to his heart. He's still the all-time leader in regular season coaching wins for the Golden State Warriors. He coached the Dubs for 13 years as a GM. He drafted Chris Mullin. And he was a community ambassador since the 1990s. And he's the nicest guy I've ever met. And I thank the heavens that he was alive to get enshrined into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame back in 2019. He is really, truly one of the nicest men I've ever met in my career, one of the kindest hearts. His number 16 is retired up there in the rafters next to Rick Barry, next to Will Chamberlain, next to Chris Mullin. And there's some quotes here. And I'll read one for Chris Mullin. I know Rick Barry has a quote there. You can read Shasky. But Mullin said, this is a difficult day for me. And I remember we did a package on Al Addles maybe last season, maybe the season before. And Mully obviously was choking up. And Mully said Al Addles had a huge positive influence on me and my career, not just drafting me in 1985 and bringing me to the Bay, but guiding me through my journey as a player and a young man, both in good and difficult times. He was a dear friend, mentor, and role model, and someone I admired tremendously and tried to emulate. He set the standard for all of us when it comes to integrity and humility, and was truly a champion both on and off the court. There will never, ever be another Al Addles, a.k.a. the Destroyer. And I know we have some sound from Mully on Al Addles, because when Mully was going through a difficult time, you know, drinking, and he had to go to rehab or whatnot, and when he first got drafted, Al told all his coaches back east, I got Mully. He's in great hands. I got him. And the respect I saw Mully have for Addles, the respect I see Rick Barry have for Addles, the respect when they had ring night a couple years ago, Al Addles was there. And he got one of the biggest pops in that arena, Chase Center. One of the biggest pops out there. Because we understand who Al Addles is. We understand. Let's hear from Mully on Al Addles.
When I was drafted, Al Addles was the GM. Class personified.
Yeah.
Always prepared. Humble and gracious.
Yes.
And, you know, when I got drafted here, he told my parents one thing. I'm going to take good care of your son. And he did exactly that. And that man, you know, he's meant so much to me over my life. That piece is beautiful.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't do it justice, because this guy is one of the most beautiful human beings I've ever met in my life. And he's impacted so many lives in this Bay Area. And it's just, he's just the greatest. Al Addles is the greatest guy I've ever met in my life.
You know, my grandfather's a year older than him, give or take. And, when I hear stories from him, I do think that just as a human, as you take a step back, forget basketball, that generation of people, they're extremely valuable just for their wisdom and their knowledge and the things that they went through. Survive World War II, the Great Depression, the Cold War, you know, so many different things that they've been through, the Civil Rights Movement. And that era of man and woman is obviously they're falling left and right now. And I see, and I'm not trying to rip Anthony Edwards, but on a day where people are talking about him basically crushing prior generations and only giving Michael Jordan a lot of appreciation and love, this is one reason, not to get on a soapbox, but why I always, you know, talk about the older Niner teams and the older Giants teams and the older Warrior teams and things like that. And I know for the young people, they think new is always better and whatnot. I just think that we don't value the oldest generation left in society enough. And it used to be when you were out in the wilderness, there was the old wise person, and it was the oldest person in the tribe or in the group or whatever, and you'd learn all the wisdom from that individual. And I do believe this is more of a societal issue, is that we just don't, we don't appreciate them enough. We don't pick their brains enough. You know, they've been through a lot of things. Doesn't mean they're right. Doesn't mean that some of their beliefs and things that they went through were always, you know, that we look back on, we're always the right way of doing things, but there's a wisdom in having lived that long. And I look at someone like Al Addles, and as a longtime, lifelong Warrior fan, I was telling the story at the break that, you know, I used to collect a lot of cards, and they would give out cards when you go to the games, and Al Addles was always one of, like, the throwback cards that they would give you, and it'd be him on the sidelines in his big, puffy collared shirt, and in the back of the card, almost every one of them, you know, pioneer African-American player coach. You know, he wasn't the first, but he was definitely a pioneer during the 70s.
Right after Bill Russell.
You know, and he's a guy, the reason I said Forrest Gump earlier, like, if you just look at the history of the NBA, playing for one of the original basketball teams in the in the Philadelphia Warriors, he was a part of so many moments in the game. And I got a chance. I didn't meet him like you met him. I met him in passing. He pulled up in front of Oracle. I was walking into the stadium. No one knew who he was. I was in the parking lot. And I was like, oh, my God. He was in like a Toyota Corolla. Mm-hmm. He's an older man at that point. It's probably 10, 15 years ago. I go, Al Attles. And he looked at me like he couldn't believe I knew who he was. And he rolled down his window. This is how long ago it was. He rolled it down like this, reached his hand over, shook my hand. I thought my hand was going to be collapsed because he had such a strong grip. And I was thinking to myself, man, that guy, to Mully's point, just class personified and respect and dignity, and it's everything that you want someone that represents your community to be known for.
One of the first African-American head coaches in the NBA. Doesn't get talked about enough. Came in assistant to 68 while he was still a player, which shows the respect he garnered from his coaches and front office and his teammates, for crying out loud. He was named player coach midway through the 69-70 season, and so first time I ever met him, and I always think about these moments. Remember we had Mike Tirico on, and I mentioned at the Olympic Club when they had the U.S. Open, which Paul Anziger won, Payne Stewart the second, right? Finished the second place. And it was just a small thing, but Mike Tirico, we backed up something, and Mike Tirico's, hey, thank you guys so much, man. It was a small thing behind the scenes, like, oh, that's cool, man. That's a cool dude. Myself, Igor Spivak, Alex Eppenbaum, we're at a Warriors game. Opening night, and we were jacked up. They just had, you know, Troy Murphy, Gilbert Arenas, Mike Dunleavy, Jay Rich, obviously, and we're walking around, and we see Al Attles on the perch at Old Oracle Arena, and we're like, Al, man, he like, he's like, oh, these guys know who I am. He's like, what's up, young man, you guys good? And we're like, hey, man, we still here, man. We Warriors for life, man. He goes, well, stick with us, young man. Stick with us, man. We're going to turn this thing around, man, all right? We're going to turn this thing around. He shook everybody's hand when he didn't have to. And it's the small things like that behind the scenes, without the cameras, without the fanfare. How do you treat people? And Al was like that in every step of the way. Later on, as I became the host of the pregame show, what's up, young man? What's up, man? You really can't shoot a basketball. And he would just laugh, and he kind of hit me in the shoulder and kind of teased me or whatnot. And it was just the respect that he garnered and the things that he did. There's not a bad word anybody's ever said about Aldous. Not one bad word.
I always think about, the older athletes, they kind of just get it. You know what I mean? When it comes to, not everything needs to be online, right? No. I think that we're caught up in this online life that we live. And, you know, how does someone treat you when no one's looking?
Yep.
When there is no camera, when there's no phone, when there's no this, when there's no that, you'll never hear a bad word about the guy. They don't call him this. This is something I always called him. He's Mr. Warrior to me. Like, in the way, I know Wilt Chamberlain has all the records, but to me, what Al represented to the organization was significantly deeper than his contributions as just a player. Yep. Through all the thick and thin, there's one thing that united Warrior fans. Al Attles was the man.
Al Attles was the guy.
He was the man.
And I'm glad he got his blessing in the Hall of Fame. I'm glad he got the blessing. Now, I'm not sure if he attended. I'm not 100% sure if he was able to go to that Hall of Fame induction. I got to double check on that. I know we're going to run a special tonight on NBC Sports Bay Area in honor of Al Attles. Again, he leads the Warriors at most coaching wins.
That's crazy.
His number's retired. He's a championship head coach. He's coached all-star games. He's done every role. He's been player, coach, GM, ambassador. Again, 6 decades with the Golden State Warriors. And this one hurts. This one hurts deeply. This is going to affect a lot of people, a lot of teammates. You know, Clifford Ray comes out here. The way Clifford Ray and Rick Barry speak, the way they discuss who Al Attles was. I mean, here, I read a quote right here from Rick Barry. My heart is heavy today with the loss of my mentor and friend. Al was my roommate during my rookie season in the league. He taught me valuable lessons on being a professional that could be learned on the court. Later, as our coach in the 75 championship season, he exemplified leadership, togetherness, and a keen strategic ability that enabled us to succeed at the highest level. We shared so many wonderful and memorable moments together. My thoughts and prayers go out to his wife and his entire family. He will be dearly missed. And again, the way I saw Mully, because, you know, I've been working with Mully now for over 4 years. The way I saw him choke up when discussing Al Attles kind of hit me in the face, like, oh, this is deeper than that. He was discussing Al because he knew Al was struggling a little bit and he wasn't coming around the arena as much as he used to. And the way he choked up, it's like, oh, Al had a bigger impact than I thought. You know, because we see the number retired. We know who he is as a coach. We see him all the time. But it's like, oh, wait, it's deeper than that. You think about the community. Steiny and Evan just had a son on yesterday, Al Attles Jr. and all the camps he would run.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Toscano-Anderson, his career kind of got kickstarted because he met with the Idols and went to a camp. Logan Murdoch was at a camp ran by Al Idols. So his community work behind the scenes, he lived and breathed the Bay Area. He never left us. He never left us. Think about that. No, 60 years with one organization, man. That's crazy.
I'm glad you put that out there. You know, we've talked. I mean, I had a tough year this year, you know, and I don't try to always bring it back to me and my family. But it's just legacy. Like, what's your legacy when you pass on, right? And I'm not trying to make this an indictment of anyone. Sometimes we go through life. I'm so guilty of this. And this thing that's bugging me is the most important thing in my life, you know, at that moment, for whatever reason. When at the end of the day, it's so dumb, you know? And I think we spend a lot of time, and I get it. It's the topics of the day. And you and I are both guilty of this. The audience is guilty of this. Everyone, the money and the this and the that. It's some of the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. You know, we're losing our minds about everything. What's your legacy?
Yeah.
Right? And I bet you that when people reflect on Al Idols, it's going to be about the man and his imprint on individuals. And you reference Chris Mullin. Basketball, I mean, when you change someone's life like that.
Yeah. Basketball secondary.
You legitimately save that human being's life. When Rick Barry calls him my mentor, I think we have too few mentors in this modern era. Too many of the older folk, and now we're the older folk, don't want to take the time out to help the younger folk. And, you know, I just think that this is a good reminder that if there are people in your life that you love, don't wait on it. Reach out to them. Tell them you love them. And if there's somebody that needs help, help them.
You know, wow, this is... You know, the youngsters got to, you know, that's why the Anthony Edwards, and I sent it to the thread yesterday, the Anthony Edwards quote about, you know, Michael Jordan was only a skillful player. And I'm like, oh, you're falling down that rabbit hole again. And I see Isaiah Thomas, and I had a quick chat with Mully about, and it's just the lack of respect for those that paved the way.
That came
before you. You know, when J.J. Redick talked about, oh, Bob Cousy played against a bunch of plumbers. Like, J.J. Redick, they would have locked your ass up. You wouldn't have made all the money you made if you played in that era. And it's the lack of respect. These young kids, you know, it's the lack of respect that they have for the guys who paved the way. You know, that's why guys who came before us on the microphone, whether it's television or radio, no matter what, I have the ultimate respect for them.
Respect the seat, respect the opportunity, respect the people who came before you in whatever work you're in.
Exactly.
Respect your family, et cetera. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that when I think about Al Idols, you know, I think about how he conducted himself through the thick and thin and how loyal he was to this community, this organization. It's a rare trait in today's bounce around society. You know, the guy we just had on, Matt Spiegel, you know, his partner just left for a television gig and he's trying to better his family and he's trying to, but like to stay with one company or one person 60 years. No.
One check from one employer.
That's pretty rare. And I think that speaks to how good of a person you are.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, to be over there 60 years through all the ownership changes. You know, because a lot of owners have come in and they don't respect the people who paved the way for them to get the job or to become the owner of the team. And some of the historians there, and they're like, he stuck through all the ownership changes. And think about the Warriors having all these ownership changes.
Oh, my God.
And GM changes. Yeah. And coaching changes. And what the franchise has gone through. And still, ring night. Parades. You know, when you look at the parades with the Giants, right? Willie Mays always had a car.
Of course.
McCovey, Bonds. Well, the Warriors. Jim Barnett. Al Idols. He's got his whip.
It's a great point.
He's coming down Market Street. He's coming down in Broadway Street in Oakland, California. Wherever the parade was. So, if you want to send flowers in honor, because we've lost some legends, Orlando Cepeda, Willie Mays, we've lost some heavyweights, man. Jerry West, Bill Walton. Now we lose another one. Another one.
Well, you know, to your point on Anthony.
Real quick. I just wanted to say that if you want to send flowers to Al Idols or his family, please address them to Fouché's Hudson Funeral Home at 3665 Telegraph Avenue in Oakland, California.
You know, it's something that I hold as like a duty, if you will. You're talking about Anthony Edwards. That is somebody, whoever's in his life, somebody older, could be a mentor for him or somebody who plays with him. I don't know. Somebody, that's an opportunity to like put your arm around him and educate him and explain to them why it's important. You know, like that's, I'm a big believer in that. Like you're going to have, and there's people in your life, cousins and uncles and nieces and nephews and your own children or whatever, friends, you got to put your arm around them and explain to them why these things are important.
Kevin Durant was just hanging out with Anthony Edwards. You know, Kevin Durant is a guy who appreciates the history of the game. For example, I've seen Kevin Durant a couple times come back to Chase Center, and he sees Mully. He beelines at Chris Mullin. Big hug, big embrace. How you doing, Mully? Embracing the guys. Kyrie Irving, when he came out here with Dallas, Mully was telling his story. He was in the back. He's walking in, and Kyrie goes, "Oh, what's up, Mr. Mullin?" Called him Mr. Mullin.
Wow.
And he goes, "My dad always talked about you, man. He always talked about you." And the respect there. That's why I kind of come around on Kyrie Irving, because I was like, oh, he does respect the guys before him. Yeah. And he discusses that all the time in his post-game pressers. I know he went off the deep end a little bit here and there, but he does respect. Somebody needs to get around Anthony Edwards real quick, because he's such a likable human being. He's the next superstar here in America, but that's not something that needs to be said. Like, you're going to disrespect Scottie Pippen? Well, he wasn't skillful. Charles Barkley was a skillful. Karl Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon was a skillful. I could go on and on and on and on and on.
When you're 23 and you feel invincible, you know, you just, there's things you say and do, and you look back at your life and you go, yeah, I regret that one. It's like me coming out of a Niners training camp thinking that Trey Lance was the man.
Hey, we all did. He still might be the man. And then next thing you know, 2 years later, I'm saying he should go to the CFL.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Oh, gosh.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Man. Mark Ibanez is sex. Good morning, B. Really appreciated words on Al Addles. Can we begin to express what a wonderful man he was? If you ask me who was the best man I've ever met in my life, my 45 years of sportscasting, without a doubt, number one, Al Addles. Dusty Baker, number two.
Wow. I love you, Mark. Hope all's well.
That says it all. Mark Ibanez has interviewed many, many people, many athletes, many GMs, many coaches. On his list is Al Addles.
Yeah, salute to Al Addles. That's my final thought. Number 16. The Destroyer. I call him Mr. Warrior. You know, from the greatest generation that, again, I've said it before and over, you know, survived the Depression, World War II, Cold War, Civil Rights Movement. Everything that we enjoy to this day is because of that generation of human beings. And if there's somebody in your life that is from that era, listen to them, hug them, take them out to lunch, let them know you love them. Because, unfortunately, they're all getting really old, like we all are. Love you, Al.
The Destroyer is an all-time nickname, considering he was only 6 feet tall and playing with Wilt Chamberlain. But your nickname was the Destroyer. It's pretty badass. R.I.P.
It is badass.
No, my final thought is that was a great tribute that you guys did there for Addles. I mean, he's a guy for me who, you know, obviously he played well before my time. He exists kind of in legend to me. So rest in peace to this Warriors legend.
Man, 87 years old, six decades with the Warriors. All-star game coach, championship head coach, GM, player. Rest in peace, legend. We'll miss you. Al Addles leaves this world at the age of 87. Longest stint with one franchise in NBA history. 60-plus year career with the Golden State Warriors. May you rest in heaven, Al.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.